In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again today about Amy Carmichael, and we might give this talk the title of A Christian's Battle. Am I speaking to anyone today who's having a real spiritual battle? How about somebody who's having a mental battle, or a physical battle, or any other kind of a battle, maybe a moral battle? Well, whatever kind of a battle it is, remember that we are warned in Scripture that there is an enemy up against which the Christian always stands and has to fight with the whole armor of God. This is the description that François Coillard, a missionary of the Zambezi, wrote. Amy Carmichael often quoted this. "The evangelization of the world is a desperate struggle with the prince of darkness, and with everything his rage can stir up in the shape of obstacles, vexations, oppositions, and hatred, whether by circumstances or by the hand of man. It is a serious task. Oh, it should mean a life of consecration." And I do want to make sure that you understand that everything that I'm saying on this program has an application to every single one of us, regardless of what our job may be or whether we feel as though we are as remote as anyone could possibly be from a missionary like Amy Carmichael. Just this morning before I came to the studio for this program, I received a call from my daughter in California. She had gotten up at 4:30 this morning. She made a list of 18 things that she wanted me to pray about, things that just have to be done, she said, but I don't see how I can get to them. Well, I know that the enemy of souls is up against even a young mother who is coping with the very ordinary things like getting a driver's license, getting the children immunized, taking things to the cleaners, getting buttons sewed on, what to do about root canals and the orthodontist when you've got six children. Can you imagine? Well, those were some of the things that were on Valerie's list this morning. Back to Amy Carmichael, our missionary. We told you in the last talk that she had had to leave Japan because of what they called Japan head. She had terrible headaches and neuralgia and who knows what else, but the doctors declared her unfit for missionary service overseas. Instead of going home, she went to Ceylon. She stayed in Ceylon only a few months before she was called back to England because of a stroke that her dear old man, Mr. Wilson, had. And so while she was in England, he was thinking that perhaps God had given her back to him. But that was not, in fact, the case. She was sure that God wanted her to go back to some field. Which one was it to be? And so she ended up in India. She learned that the city of Bangalore in India had a healthy climate for foreigners, not nearly so hot as other parts of India. And so, learning about missionaries that were working in Bangalore, she made contact with them, and as quickly as she could, she took a boat and sailed to India. Well, once again, she plunged into the third language, having learned some Japanese and having begun the study of the language of Ceylon. Now she had to begin to study the language in India. Of course, there are many languages in India, but she had to start at the bottom rung of yet another one. She tells about the missionary social activities. This, of course, was under the British Raj. There were hundreds, probably thousands, of Britishers in India. And missionaries had often made friends with them and had social activities in company with them, which were certainly not Amy's cup of tea. She could not justify the time that was spent in this way. To her, it was like making daisy chains while people were plunging blindly over a precipice. Once, when the ladies were doing their fancy needlework and the men were reading missionary papers for discussion, the question was asked whether anyone knew of an Indian who would work without pay. Amy wrote, "There was a dead silence. The lady near me was busy matching her silks. All the others went on with what they were doing. Not one, so far as I could see, was astonished or shocked by such a question. At last, one of the men said, 'I must confess, I don't know of an Indian who would work without pay.' But I felt as if a thunderbolt had fallen in the midst of that pleasant company. It wasn't that I thought the question referred to those who could not work unless their expenses were paid. To have one's expenses paid if one had not money of one's own is apostolic. No, it was not that. It was that no one in that room knew of any who, whether they had pay or not, were working purely for love of their Lord, who loved him enough to work for love's sake only. I had half expected that in the moment's silence that followed, we would be on our knees in shame and contrition before God. For if such things were true, whose fault was it? But no, the discussion passed on to something else, and there was a buzz of conversation. That was all. I went to bed that night in much perplexity of spirit." She longed to become one with the Indian people. She thought of him who had made himself nothing, of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant. She asked her friends to pray that she and her fellow missionaries would get down to the bottom of that verse. She refused segregation, which was an absolute outrage among the British of the Raj in India. There had always been strict lines of demarcation between the Indian and the Englishman. To Amy, that was totally unchristian. And so she not only kept company with Indians, she identified with them in dress. She adopted the beautiful, probably the most beautiful women's costume in the world, the Indian sari. She wore no shoes. She had dark hair and sometimes could pass for an Indian at a distance, except for the fact that she had blue eyes. She gathered around her a small group of very dedicated young Indian women, and they traveled as evangelists from village to village. She called this the band. She was also working with a couple by the name of Mr. and Mrs. Thomas Walker, and as a new missionary, they had invited her to come and travel with them while she was learning Tamil. And so it began, this work of the band with the bandies. Now, a bandy was their vehicle in which they traveled. And Amy said that except for the Chinese wheelbarrow, the most tiring way of going that I ever came across is the Indian bandy. The Japanese kuruma, or jinrikshaw, is bliss in comparison. Crash, bang, smash went the wheels on the rutted roads, jerking, pitching, lunging, and jolting the hapless passengers. One night, it was clear moonlight. We travel at night to escape the heat, she said. And at first I couldn't think of going to sleep, and I walked ahead of the bandies, disturbing various flocks of parrots who passed uncomplimentary remarks in consequence. When at last I settled down to slumber sweet, Saral, that was one of the women in the band, rolled over on top of me, bumping me black and blue. The bandy threw her at me, she said. Then we stuck in the mud, and Mr. Walker had to help push us out. I wish you could have seen us. One of Amy's saving characteristics was her sense of humor, and it comes out in the story of her life. But again and again, when they presented the gospel message with great earnestness, they found that it was not understood. "Go," said one woman. "We neither want you, nor your book, nor your way." An old leper called out, "Who wants your Lord Jesus here?" A devil dancer with her hair matted and twisted, her face spotted and smeared with idol marks, snarled at them. "Your God is no God. If I come to him, my devil God will kill me. He is God. Yours died, you say, died and was buried. Your God is no God. Go away and tell your lies somewhere else. Who asks you to tell them here? Rejection. And in their rejection, the missionaries were permitted to share in the sufferings of Christ. Remember what Jesus said, "Rejoice when men revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." And that's the only reason that Amy Carmichael was able to call this hard, rigorous, itinerant evangelism blissful work. Is your work hard? Is it boring? Is it drudgery? Does it wear you out? If you do it for him, it might just be transformed into blissful work. One day, as they were traveling, they met a very unusual woman, an educated woman, a beautiful woman. They learned later that she was married to the gods. Amy did not know exactly what that meant then, but that was the very beginning of the work that God was to lead her into for the rest of her life. A Christian is in a battle, a spiritual warfare against spiritual wickedness in high places and forces of evil. May God enable us to stand.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.